Right, so this morning, we're going to be talking about faith. And in our Advent series, I said last week we talked about hope. This week we're going to talk about faith. Now the question is, what do we mean when we say the word faith? Right? It might mean that you know, if you have faith in somebody, you trust them. Right? Or you believe in them. When you don't trust someone, you don't really have faith in them. Maybe you have faith in your vehicle. You know, maybe you always have faith in a Ford, either that it'll always be there for you, no matter where it breaks down, or you have faith in your Chev, whatever brand you stick to. You know, we've got those that we hold to. You know, as I was thinking about the different things that are referred to as faithful, you know, you go to Yellowstone Park and you have Old Faithful, right? And why is it called Old Faithful? That's right. It goes off pretty regularly. And they know this. Faith, something that is faithful is something you can depend on. The dictionary defines faith as this: confidence or trust in a person or thing. So faith in another's ability. Belief that is not based on proof. He had faith that the hypothesis would be sustained by fact. Belief in God or in doctrines or teachings of religion. The firm faith of the pilgrims. Belief in anything as a code of ethics, standards of merit, etc. So to be of the same faith with someone concerning honesty. A system of religious belief, the Christian faith, the Jewish faith, or the obligation of loyalty or fidelity to a person, promise, engagement, etc. So failure to appear would be breaking faith. So that's what the dictionary says about faith. Now, there are many examples of faith in the Bible. Because the Bible is all about faith. We talk about our faith. Right? The Bible is central to our faith. And as we go through the Christmas story, as we look at what the Bible tells us about Jesus' birth, about that first Advent, we see many examples of faith. We see Mary showing incredible faith in the circumstances she finds herself in. Very difficult circumstances, being not yet wed and yet carrying a child. We see the faith of Joseph, who, I mean, the angel came to him, and you might be, you know, sit there and think, you know, if an angel came to me and told me what was what, I'd go along with it. But it still took a lot of faith for him to believe what he had been told. I think two of my favorite examples of faith are actually in Luke chapter 2. Two characters that often get overlooked, and that's Simeon and Anna. See, when Jesus was when Jesus was taken to the temple to be dedicated, there was these two there. Simeon was a man advanced in years, and God had revealed to him that he would see the Messiah, and he faithfully went to the temple waiting to see the Messiah. Or Anna, who we are told was over 80 years old and went faithfully to the temple every day. These are people of faith that we see in them, in Matthew and in Luke, as it tells us about Jesus' birth. But when we're talking about faith, there's one part of the Bible, one chapter in particular, that is well known to many of us. That is Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11 gives us the Bible's definition of faith and tells us very clearly, giving us examples of what faith looks like. See, Hebrews chapter 11, and turn there with me, please. But Hebrews 11 begins with this verse. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. That's what the Bible tells us faith is. Faith goes beyond just agreeing with something. It's an active, conscious assurance of something. Faith sees things that haven't happened yet. One theologian describes faith as the living confidence and trust in God, which results from, and therefore in part is also identical with, the experience of his active presence. Faith is that relation to God in which final dependence rests upon the reality of who we are in Him. The author of Hebrews tells us that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. In those opening verses, and we're actually going to read, I'm going to read Hebrews 11. But as we go through it, I just want to highlight these things, upon these points up on the screen about what this faith looks like. Because as we go through it, we see that faith, true faith, builds assurance. That it faces the future with confidence. It focuses on an invisible reality. It fulfills its purpose in pleasing God, and it fixes our lives fully on God. So, follow along with me as we look at the examples of faith that the writer of Hebrews has given us. So now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not face death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went on to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were both descendants. As many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles in the earth. For people who speak thus made it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho came down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign enemies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. So, if you're counting, the word faith appears at least 30 times in that chapter, which is one of the reasons why we associate this chapter with faith. It's often called the Hall of Fame of the faithful. And as it comes to the end, it tells us how all of these people that are talked about, and all of the examples, if you know your Old Testament, you know some of the others that the writer is alluding to, that all of them lived by faith but did not see the promise realized. The entire book of Hebrews points us to Christ. And that's why this chapter is so vital to Christmas, to the Advent season, because it talks about the faith of countless generations, faithful followers of God who were waiting for the promise that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so, as we look at the faithful, there's some pretty incredible things in there. Some pretty incredible events, some absolutely incredible people. And I don't know about you, but I read through that chapter and I think, like, wow, I can't imagine going through some of the things that they went through. And sometimes we look at that and we go, that's not where I'm at. And so I wanted to just take a little segue this morning as we think about faith, as we think about what it means to be faithful, what a life of faith looks like. I have a little quiz for you. Okay, and so this is like participation time. So simple, true, false. If you're living in faith, Christians never wrestle with doubt. True or false? Okay. Christians never stumble into sin. Okay? Christians are free from imperfections. Christians are always shielded from hardship, suffering, and tragedy. Okay? You guys are doing pretty good. Christians hold to God's promises without wavering. Christians never suffer failure or defeat in their spiritual walk. Okay, you guys caught the pattern here. So, I came across that as I was preparing this week, just to remind us, because when we look, sometimes we can be really hard on ourselves. You know, when you look at the people that made it into the Faith Hall of Fame, they did incredible things and showed incredible faith. I mean, Abraham, it talks about Abraham being faithful, you know, took Isaac up on the mountain, right, and was ready to sacrifice him when he was stopped. And yet, same Abraham, when you look at it, he also did some pretty stupid things in his life. You look at David, you know, the man after God's own heart, and he did incredible things for God, but he still had his struggles. And so we have the Hall of Faith, the Hall of Fame of faith. And we have these incredible examples. But it's important to remember that all of them still weren't quite there yet. And we can follow their examples of faith. We can follow their examples even when things go hard, even when things don't go quite right, that we can still be faithful. And so with that little dose of, healthy dose of reality, how do we live in faith? Well, I want to go back into Hebrews 11 here and just pull out one of these examples. That is the example of Moses. We see Moses is described here starting in verse 23. But living the life of faith takes work. And it takes some really intentional choices. And we see this as we look at the lives of those who are described in this chapter. We see many examples of this. But Moses, I think, is an excellent example. So what does faith look like? Well, with Moses, we see a refusal to go with the sin of the culture around us. See, in verse 24, we're told that by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. See, Moses, we know the story of Moses. At the time, Pharaoh was trying to do population control on the Israelites, and so he commanded that all the baby boys be thrown in the Nile. And Moses was saved, and he was picked up out of the basket of reeds by Pharaoh's daughter, and he was raised in Pharaoh's household. He was thoroughly indoctrinated by the culture. He lived a life of luxury. He didn't have to endure the hardships that his people did. But he made a conscious choice to maintain his identity as one of God's people. It can be hard to refuse to go with the culture around us. But we're told that in faith, Moses did. Now, our culture is a difficult thing to avoid. And particularly around Christmas. One of the things about much of what we do at Christmas is that the church took elements from the culture that it found itself around and took them and rebranded them or reappropriated them to point us towards reminders of Christ. And for many centuries, what had been traditions, pagan traditions, or things from the culture around were redeemed into symbols that pointed us towards who God was. But as we look at the culture around us today, we find that our culture has been working really hard to take back those things. And so as we come into Christmas, part of being faithful is pushing back against a culture that tries to drown out Christ. We live in a culture that celebrates consumerism, celebrates consumption, and pushes back against the God of the universe who came to earth as a baby with nothing, who became nothing so that he could redeem us. The second thing that we see of Moses' faith is leaving the familiar and the comfortable. We're told in verse 27 that by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. See, Moses left behind life in a palace, and he ended up in Midian, far distant land, looking after his father, who became his father-in-law, his flocks. Faith often pushes us out of the comfortable. Again, Christmas time, holiday time, is one of the times in life where we actually work really hard to keep the familiar and the comfortable. A lot of us have our family traditions. Traditions aren't inherently bad, but we like our people. We like our places. We like our comfort. And the holidays in particular are times where we work really, really hard to keep things the same a lot of the time. This really struck me years ago when I ended up going to school in Egypt. I can tell you that, coming up to Christmas, there was absolutely nothing Christmas related. It's a little bit of a shock, actually, just so you know, talk about culture shock. Spend time in a country that doesn't celebrate Christmas and then come home the week before Christmas. It's quite a shock. But what the day that I actually struggled with the most was Thanksgiving. Because this was, that particular year was the first time in my life I wasn't with my family for Thanksgiving. And it wasn't just that it was uncomfortable not being with my family. It was that nobody cared that it was Thanksgiving. Because, one, I was in a country that doesn't celebrate it. And two, all of my classmates were American. So they really didn't care because they had the wrong date. But it just struck me how I knew I was where God had wanted me to be. And it was a really, really hard step of faith to make. But it was the series of events that had led me to that point. I knew I was where I was supposed to be, and I'd gone in faith. And it became really clear that it was really uncomfortable. That's often what faith looks like. Getting pushed beyond our comfort. Getting pushed beyond the people that are like us. Getting pushed beyond the places that are familiar. One of the things when I was in seminary, we'd joke about, you don't ever want to say, well, God would never call me to fill in the blank. Because God has a sense of humor. God has a sense of humor, and often the place that we think is going to be most uncomfortable is exactly where he wants us to be. And so as we look at faith, as we look at what it means to live by faith, a big part of it is being pushed beyond what is familiar and comfortable. The third thing that we see about living in faith here is that there's times we have to swallow our pride and be willing to do what God leads us to do. We see in verse 28 that Moses, by faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. If you've read Exodus or you're familiar with the Passover story, what happened that first Passover, God told Moses to have the people to prepare a special meal, to kill a lamb, put the blood on the doorposts. And it was an acknowledgement that God's judgment was coming on Egypt, and this was the only way to be saved. That must have been a really hard thing to do. I mean, you think about all of the things that had happened, the nine previous plagues. When you look at you look at Moses' life as a whole, what he'd gone through. And here he was called to do something that showed complete dependence on God. That there was nothing to do but have faith. That this strange act, which at the time would have been a very strange thing to do, was the only way to do what God had called him to do. Swallowing our pride often comes hand in hand with that being pushed out of our comfort zone, eh? You know, I'm sure God would never call me to do. Or, this is the one thing I really don't want to do. God's like, okay, well, let's see about that. God will often call us to do things we don't expect in things we don't expect. And in ways that are way outside our comfort zone, that are way outside of what we think is normal. But that's living by faith. So what do we have faith about? We went through the definitions of faith a few minutes ago, but maybe, you know, when we look at our lives, you know, and our faith is far from perfect. Just so you know, if any of you think that anyone has a perfect faith, we're not there yet. We're all works in progress. But maybe we at times our faith in God is driven by our circumstances. Maybe it's, you know, there's times in life where we certainly find we exercise our faith more than others. Right? When a loved one is sick, or when there's more month than there's more than money, or life is just hard. But faith is not an end. Our faith in God cannot simply be an end, a means to an end. That, you know, that oh God, if only you would do X, my faith will be restored. That's not faith. Faith is always directed at the living God of the universe, who is perfectly faithful. It's not just about our dreams coming true or walking the easy road. It's about knowing who we are and who God is, and knowing that he is in control. The last part of Hebrews 11, in fact, lists the people that we don't like to think that's what faith could look like for us, right? Those that were tortured, who were persecuted. We it's one of the reasons why I wanted to read the entire chapter, is because we often look at those great examples of faith at the first half of the chapter. And we don't really want to bring to the forefront of our minds the last part of the chapter. Because there are those who persevered through incredible trials. One of my favorite authors wrote this about those who endured. He said, "Their faith shines all the more brightly when we realize that they carried on throughout their lives without seeing the story come to its proper conclusion." The incredible gift that we have as New Testament believers is that the promise that all those were waiting for was fulfilled, were fulfilled in that first advent. The babe in the manger, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man. As I said, the whole book of Hebrews points us towards Christ. But one of the themes, one of the words that gets repeated throughout the book, and I encourage you, if you haven't read through the book of Hebrews ever or recently, I encourage you to do so. And watch out for this one word, the word better. See, verse 40 tells us, since God has provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. You see, the book of Hebrews talks about not just a faith that means, you know, everything's going to turn out for us or everything is going to be, you know, exactly what we want, that all of our dreams and desires will be fulfilled. The book of Hebrews points us continually towards Christ, who is better. Living by faith in Christ is going to be hard at times. It's going to be uncomfortable and difficult, and at times it's going to be downright dangerous. Living with a true and vibrant faith in Christ is not the easy road. But because of the promise that we have in Christ, because if we have placed our faith in Him, which is sure, faith in Him who came to live among us, to live as one of us, died on a cross for our sins, the only perfect sacrifice, who rose again on the third day, who ascended into heaven, the one that we celebrate here at Advent, at the first Advent, is coming again. And at that second Advent, the sure faith in Him points us towards what is better. Perfection that is only found in Christ, in His return, and in His redemption of us and of all creation. So, as we go through this Christmas season, I encourage you, live by faith. Live by faith when things are hard. Live by faith when you're called to go outside your comfort zone. Live by faith in humility to do whatever God calls you to do. Because faith in Him is the only path to something far better than anything we can imagine. Let us pray. Father God, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your Son who came. Thank You that we celebrate the birth of our Savior. But Father, we don't just celebrate the birth. We celebrate the cross. We celebrate the resurrection. And Father, we live in faith that because of the first advent, that there is a second one coming. And that when Christ returns, He will not be as a helpless babe, but as a conquering King coming to take His people home to not just what is better, but to what is the best, far beyond anything we can imagine. And so, Father, I pray that You would help each of us to live in faith, to be sensitive to Your call, to make those tiny decisions every day to walk with You, so that when we face hardships, when we face persecution, when we face tests of our faith, that we would hold strong and sure to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.